This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded.
fighter, not because of who I am, but because who of God is in me. I am a fighter, and we are all fighters, and we're called to the line to stand. Amen? Say it like you mean it. This is how I fight my battles. Hallelujah. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this day, that you have made, that we can rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord God, that we can humbly submit our hearts before you, O God, to receive your word as you have given it to the man of God. And I pray for him this morning, that as Pastor Brian comes up here, that he speaks the word of life and of truth, Lord God, that it goes in and directly hits exactly the issues in our hearts. That your word would bring truth in our lives, oh God. That you would be glorified once we step out of this building and onto the battlefield, and that we will fight. And we fight by standing. And I thank you, God, for everything that you have done for each and every individual in here. And I pray that your good, pleasing, and perfect will be done in here. Amen.
Okay, let's get this trial started.
Excuse me, sir. Under the law, a trial can't be held at night, only during the day.
Yes, well, because of the Passover, we felt it was more important to resolve this matter quickly than to wait until tomorrow.
And if you do it at night, then you won't have to worry about too many of his friends showing up.
Exactly. I mean, nonsense. Swift justice is what matters. Bring in the guilty man.
Don't you mean the accused?
It's all the same to me. Now then, Jesus of Nazareth, how do you plead?
I have always spoke openly. I have said nothing in secret. If you want to know what I have taught, why don't you ask those who have heard? They can tell you what I said.
I'll assume that's a not guilty plea. Bring in the first liar. I mean witness.
How do you do, Your Honor?
What did you hear this man say?
Last Monday, I heard him say that we should tear down the temple.
There you have it. Blasphemy. That's enough for a conviction.
Actually, Your Honor, he's not guilty unless two witnesses agree in all aspects of their testimony.
Very well. Bring in the next witness.
I'm here, sir.
Did you hear this man say anything about tearing down the temple?
Yes, he said he could build up the walls in 3 days if somebody tore the temple down.
Well, did he say anything else about tearing down the temple? Think carefully now. Did he tell anyone to tear down the temple?
I think he said he was a master builder or something like that.
I'm calling a short recess. Someone go to the crowd and find me two who can agree on a story while I question this man myself.
This is all highly illegal. You can't do that.
Enough. You're not in charge here, and I've heard enough from you. You, Jesus, are you the Christ?
If I tell you, you will not believe. Hereafter, the Son of Man shall sit on the right hand of God.
Ah, so now you're the Son of God?
You say that I am.
Ha, I have him. He has just accused himself. I don't need any witnesses. Take him to Pilate.
Hello, Pontius.
This man has been saying that he is king. We bring him to you to get rid, to determine what to do with him.
Bring in the accused. Are you the king of the Jews?
You say that I am. Do you say it of your own knowledge, or did others tell you this?
I don't see this man has done anything wrong. If he broke your Jewish laws, it's not my concern. I'm not a Jew. You can try him yourself.
We have found him guilty, but we cannot pass the sentence. We need you to pass the death penalty.
The death penalty? That seems a bit harsh for a guy whose only crime is being a little cray-cray.
He's been trying to incite riots for 3 years, starting back in Galilee.
Wait, if this man is from Galilee, I don't have to make the decision. He should be sent to Herod.
Wait, what? You're going to send us all the way to Galilee just to see Herod?
Of course not. Herod happens to be here in Jerusalem. Take him to Herod.
Someone has brought a prisoner to see you, my lord.
A prisoner? What do I want with a prisoner? Send him to Pilate.
They brought him to you because he's a Galilean man named Jesus.
Jesus? As in the prophet from Galilee?
Yes, sir.
The one who's done all the miracles and raised people from the dead? I'm told he turns water into wine.
That's the one, my lord.
Well, don't just stand there. Bring him in. I want to see him perform a miracle.
He's a blasphemer, Herod. You should sentence him to death.
Jesus, what do you have to say for yourself? Come on now, speak up.
Standing there mute won't help you. You should talk to Herod.
You're accused of blasphemy. Why don't you show them they're wrong? Here's a glass of water. Turn it to wine.
It's still water.
I can see that.
He has no respect for authority, sir.
How about walking on water? I've heard you can do that. Let's go to the river and find out.
What's wrong with you? Don't you want to be set free?
Nonsense. I've given him enough chances. I don't care if he's from Galilee. His crimes are committed in Jerusalem. Send him back to Pilate. I'm out.
Hey, can we give them a big round of applause? Good job, guys. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Westview Community Church. I'm hoping you noticed something big going on when you drove up. Amen? Do you see the construction on the north side of our building here? So we get excited about that. Let's just raise up. We've been waiting like 2 years to get started. That is a new children's wing. Part of the vision of our church is building a new children's wing there. And then just to our east side here, we're going to have a new entrance off the east side since our back door is now our front door. So we're excited about that. We're hoping maybe by the end of this summer, late summer, early fall, that will all be finished really rapid. But thank you for your giving. Thanks for your continued giving as we continue that endeavor. To our guests, this is Family Sunday. We're glad you're here. We integrate more of the children into the service. My name is Brian Smith. I'm our lead pastor. And when you guys walked in today, you got a worship guide. Looks like this. We're going to jump into the sermon here. And there's some sermon notes on the back. You'll see them posted up above. But most of all, for our guests, we have a meet and greet right after this service. So if you've been coming here for a short amount of time, or if this is your first time, we would like to meet you. So we're going to meet under this cross right after the service. We'd love to have you come there and meet with us. And then for everybody today, well, when the kids walked in, you got a little packet. It had a big piece of candy sticking out of there. But we have our own sermon notes in here for kids. It looks like this. So Kids, there's a pencil in there. I want you to use pencil. But these are your sermon notes. This is the picture of the Pilate's trial with Jesus we're going to be talking about. But have this ready to go, and we'll be talking about that as we go along. Mom and Dad help them in drawing with this. So we have sermon notes for everybody. Isn't that cool? That's exciting. All right, so we're all there. So we are in a Easter series here. We're marching towards Easter. We're exploring these images of Easter. And we started with Pastor Art last week where he took us to the garden. So we started there in the garden last week, and right where Jesus was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus and Art kind of made a good job of the analogy of the garden that started in the Bible, the garden where Jesus was betrayed, and now the garden that we're all waiting for when Christ comes back. So that's what we started with. Today, we're going to go right back to where the garden was, right back to where Jesus was betrayed, and right after he was betrayed by Judas, he was arrested. And Jesus immediately, this was about midnight, Jesus immediately was taken into trial throughout the morning hours. Now, the important thing to understand here is our kids showed us some of those trials. But did you know there's actually six trials that he went through that morning? From the hours of midnight till six in the morning on that Friday, Jesus went through six trials. The first three were religious trials. He stood before Annas, he stood before Caiaphas, the high priest, and then Sanhedrin, which is like the supreme court of the religious order, all within a few hours. His trial was for the charge of blasphemy, that Jesus said he was the Son of God. And under Jewish law, that was punishable by death. But the Jewish nation was not a sovereign nation. Rome ruled, so they could not execute him, so they took him to civil trial in the wee hours of the morning. And so they brought him before Pontius Pilate. And then Pontius Pilate sent him to King Herod, which you saw here. And King Herod sent him back for the sixth trial, back before Pontius Pilate. But to have this trial work, they had to change the charge, because Romans worshipped all kinds of gods. It wasn't punishable by death. So they changed the charge from blasphemy to treason. They accused Jesus of three things. One is insurrection, turning against the government. Two, he was avoiding taxes. Three, he was king. And under Roman law, there is no king but Caesar. And so that is punishable by death under their law. So they changed the charge. And I want us to go there together in Scripture to the sixth trial, because this trial is so important to all of us. It's so important to me. The scene we're going to look at should impact every one of us in this room. The reason why the sixth trial is so important is the sixth trial of Jesus was my trial. The sixth trial of Jesus was your trial. The sixth trial of Jesus was everybody in this room's trial. Now for our children, when you take out this picture, I want you to follow on a sermon note. This is Pilate here sitting in the judgment seat with his hands dipped in a bowl, and right in front of him, just a little bit to his right, is Jesus. I want you to draw, there's no face features on him, I want you to draw how you see Jesus right there in the middle. And start there. How do you see Jesus? And draw his face right in there. And parents, feel free to help them out as they go along. Now let's look at the scripture. Matthew 27 walks us through this sixth trial. And we're starting in verse 11, and this is what the scripture tells us. It says, "Now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. 'Are you the king of the Jews?' the governor asked him. And Jesus replied, 'You have said it.' But when the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. 'Don't you hear all these charges they're bringing against you?' Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise." So just like this picture, I can see this in the Bible. This is exactly how it's happening. Jesus just to his right, And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" That's treason. Only Caesar is king. And Jesus does not deny it. Just like he did in the kids' skit in front of Caiaphas, the high priest, he did not deny that he was a king, the Messiah. And he just gets blasted by all the religious elders and leaders are down there throwing more accusations and more insults at him. And Pilate says, "Aren't you hearing all this?" And Jesus doesn't respond. And Pilate's amazed because this charge of treason is punishable by death. For a man to be quiet and to face that charge is significant. And what I imagine happens here in Scripture that we can't see is at that moment with Jesus in front of him, Pilate motions to his guard. His guard goes down into the prison. He opens up the cell door and he takes out this prisoner in shackles and chains and he walks him all the way up there and he stands him right to Pilate's left. So you got Jesus here on the right and you got this new prisoner on the left standing in front of Pilate. And the scripture continues, Matthew 27, 15 through 17 and 20. The scripture reads, "Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year, there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. And as the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked him, 'Which one of these two do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?' And meanwhile, the leading priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, 'Which of these two do you want me to release to you?' And the crowd shouted back, 'Barabbas.' This was not panning out the way Pilate wanted it to go. Pilate was trying to do everything he did to calm this event that was going on. Pilate's been in hot water before as a governor of Judea. And Rome does not treat their governors very well when they mess up. And so he doesn't like what's boiling up. To be on the good side of the Jewish people, this Roman governor every year during Passover, the one event where everybody comes back to Jerusalem, to be on their good side, he would release one prisoner as a custom. Because he thought, "I am going to get Barabbas," because he sees Jesus as innocent. He knows this thing's being staged. And so he goes down in the prison cell and gets the worst prisoner out of the cell and brings him up here and puts him in front thinking they will choose to keep him in jail and let Jesus go. But that doesn't happen. Kids, I want the second person here to the left of Pontius Pilate is Barabbas. I want you to draw a face on there of the worst criminal you can imagine. The most notorious bad person, I want you to draw his face there. That is Barabbas. And then I want you to come down here where his hands are together like this, and I want you to draw handcuffs with chains to him because he'd be shackled. He'd be shackled all the way down to his feet so he can't run. So draw handcuffs on him and shackles, chains coming down. Now help us see this picture of what's going on. Barabbas. You know what's interesting about Barabbas, when you look at his name in Aramaic, in Hebrew, Bar means son, Abba means father, son of the father. And standing next to him is Jesus, the son of the father. Barabbas was an insurrectionist. That means he was doing everything he could. He hated Rome. He was doing everything he could to cause a rising to come up and take his country back over. He was like a homegrown terrorist. And it says, the Bible tells us, he's a murderer. He has the blood of somebody else in their life on his hands. That's how bad of a dude he is. Barabbas was on death row. You take somebody else's life under Roman law, you are sentenced to death. He was waiting to go to the cross. He was guilty. He was convicted. He deserved death. And I wonder so much, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder so much that day, was Barabbas scheduled that day to be on the cross with two other men? And we look at this scene in what you're drawing here. We see Pilate in the judgment seat. We see Jesus, who's innocent. All he did was he healed, he restored, he delivered. He opened eyes, he opened ears, he was filled with love. And next to him is Barabbas, a rebel, a murderer who is filled with hate. And the crowd's shouting, "Release him! Release Barabbas!" And that put Pilate in a bad spot because he already said he would. So he does that very thing. He releases Barabbas. Barabbas is set free. Why does this sixth trial mean so much to me? Why does this sixth trial mean so much in this scene to all of us? Because here's the next note. I am Barabbas. I am Barabbas. You are Barabbas. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in this room is Barabbas. How can we say that? How can we say that we are like Barabbas? Because we too are clearly guilty of sin. We probably cannot go a day without sin. Sin is insurrection against God. Every time that we sin, we think our way is better than God's. And that's insurrection. Secondly, we did nothing like Barabbas to earn our freedom. They walked down, took him out of the jail, took him out of his shackles, and set him free. He did nothing to deserve that. It's the same for us. We deserve or do nothing to deserve the freedom that God gives us. And the third reason that we are Barabbas is that he was set free by Jesus. And we too, every one of us, can be set free by Christ. Barabbas was set free. Jesus took his place on death row. So what does Pilate do now with Jesus? He just set this guy, Barabbas, free. So he asked that very question in Matthew 27, 22 through 25. Pilate responds. He says, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him!" "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" And the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" They shouted over Pilate. And Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere, and there was a riot that was developing, and so he ordered Jesus flogged, beaten with a lead-tipped whip, and he turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Hung from a cross until he dies. Pilate, in this picture, is dipping his hands in the bowl. And the scripture tells us in other gospels that Pilate says, "His blood is on your hands." And so he dips his hands in the bowls and washes his hands, trying to say he is innocent of Jesus' blood going to the cross. But Pilate was the only one who had authority to finally make this happen. So kids, I want you to draw in that bowl water splashing. Draw water splashing out of that bowl as he tries to declare his innocence. For years, we've been trying to blame that Jesus' death on the cross was the Jewish people's fault. We try to blame it for years that it was Pilate's fault. We try to blame it that it was Barabbas' fault. Ladies and gentlemen, it was our fault. He died for our sin. All of us are on trial here. All of us are Barabbas. The most horrifying statement and verse that you'll find in here is when Pilate says, "Let this be on your hands." They said, "Let it be on the hands of us and our children." That's one of the darkest statements you can find in the Bible. So our third note, Jesus, who was innocent, was given the death penalty. The sixth and last trial is now over. Barabbas has been set free. And in my heart, I just know this, in my heart, that when Barabbas was walking down those steps, he had to look back. He's a free man, pardoned. He had to look back into the eyes of Christ and look at the one who has taken his place. And I so much want to know what transpired in that glance. So kids, this one's kind of tough, but I want you to take the other end of your pencil. There is an eraser. And I want you to erase what you drew on Barabbas' face. And I want you to draw your face there. I'm going to draw my face there. And I want you to take your eraser and erase the handcuffs and the chains off Barabbas, and I want you to draw them on Jesus' hands. I know this is hard, but this is our trial. What Jesus is going to do is for all of us. He's taken our chains, he's taken our pain, he's taken our sin, he's taken our shame. Jesus' trial was my trial, your trial, our trial. And that leaves us with our last note. We who were on death row, that's us, we are pardoned. This is where the story turns really cool. Even though it's hard to imagine what Jesus did, we who were on death row, that's us, are pardoned. And there's two scriptures here that I want to refer to. Jesus, who was innocent, he went to the cross instead of Barabbas. Jesus willingly went to the cross. He knew his mission because he knew he was going to pay the price for all sin, all the time, with his life. And he went to the cross for you and me. In Romans 6:23, it tells us, "For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." We are on death row because every sin put us there. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a free gift of eternal life. In Romans 3, it kind of outlines this statement, and this is just a great look at the gospel. It says, "For everyone in this room, everyone through history has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for our sin." People are made right with God. People are pardoned by God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. When we believe what Jesus did, who he was and what he did on the cross, we are pardoned. Pardoned is taking your sin as far away. You will never have to pay that price. You are presented like it never happened. That's what pardoned is. And for all of us, we have one more trial in life. When we all finish our life here, we will stand before Christ. And there will be a trial. And we ought to really be looking forward to this because he will be our judge. And we're going to stand before him that day. And we will be pardoned. We will be welcomed into eternity. For those of us who believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood on the cross, we will get the free gift of eternal life. we can be pardoned right now. We can live our lives right now differently, focused on heaven. It was nothing we did, it's everything he did. All we got to do is believe. Are you willing to accept that free gift today? If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, made that statement, you do not have to walk out of here today a condemned person. You can be pardoned and be free now. And let me give you two ways you can do that. One way is that at our meet and greet afterwards, after the second service, at the end of the service, is come meet with us and just say, I really want to know more about this free gift. And we'll walk with you. Another way is go to your worship guide here and write on this little card at the bottom, it tears off, write, I want that free gift. And give me a phone number or an email that we can get in contact with you, and we'll sit down, we'll talk about this free gift. But please do not walk out of here condemned. This sermon is not to bring us down, it is to lift us up. We are pardoned. Nothing would glorify God more and bless our hearts more to know that everybody walks out of here today pardoned and free. Amen? Amen. We're going to share that a little bit more in a children's moment. John and Joe, would you come up? Kids, all of you, come on down here. Come on up here and hang out with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about this.
Good morning, everyone. We're so glad you're here. I'm Miss Joe, and this is Mr. John right here. And I see that we have a couple of people who actually were with us during the first service. So I'm going to ask you a big favor if you were here in the first service. Raise your hand right now. Okay, I'm going to ask for you kids. And by the way, your skit was awesome. That was so great. I'm going to ask those of you who were here in the first service, make sure you don't give away any surprises to anybody else, okay? So what we're going to be talking about to begin with here is the incredible gift that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us in the gift of forgiveness. And we're going to do something together here that we enjoy doing just at home sometimes. We're going to share it with you here. We're going to give each other a gift that we've prepared for each other. And I'm going to have, John is going to actually give me the gift first. Oh, we need a helper, though, because I can't open it very well holding onto this microphone. So that's my gift. Would you mind opening that for me? And let's see what's inside. Now, John, he's so thoughtful, and he's always really good about giving me things I love. Wow, a book. I love to read. He knows how much I love to read. By the way, I'd recommend that book. It's really good. What else is in there? That's awesome. Oh, chocolate. Wow. I love chocolate. Thank you so much. An apple. I love apples. I love fruit. That's one of my favorite things to eat. Thank you so much for opening up my gift. And now I'm going to give John a gift. You wouldn't mind staying here. I'm going to have you open John's gift for him while he holds the microphone because he can't hold it and open.
Oh, boy, chocolate empty box. Thank you, dear. Thank you. And, oh, I love bananas, too. Somebody obviously loved this one before I did. Thank you, dear. Oh, and I love books, too. This one looks, again, well used. Well, I know your heart was in it, dear, but I guess I'm going to have to communicate in front of all these people. I forgive you for really the contents. I'm sorry. This really hasn't been much of a meaningful gift. Thank you for being such a good delivery person.
Yes, thank you for helping us open those. So obviously my gift wasn't quite as thoughtful as John's was, But he showed me the act of forgiveness on my not being very nice to him, on the way I didn't treat him very well with giving him a very thoughtful gift. In the message today, Pastor Brian was talking about Barabbas and how he was standing there ready to be sentenced to death, but somebody else actually was going to be taking his place. It was Jesus. And in the act of forgiveness, we can be learning from Jesus how we can extend forgiveness to others. So Mr. John has a verse that we'd like you to learn together with us.
Okay, this verse comes from the part of the Bible we call the New Testament. That's what adults call it. I like to call it the Jesus has come part of the Bible. So these are words of Jesus. So those of you who can read and can see this, let's read it together.
I tell you to love your enemies.
It said that. Love your enemies. Okay.
And pray for anyone who mistreats you. Matthew 5:44.
So, forgiveness is a command of Jesus, and whenever Jesus gives us a command, he also gives us the ability to do it through his strength. And so you all were given a plastic bag as you came in. It had all kinds of stuff in it. I'm going to give you one more thing, that a great way to get it home would be to put it in that bag. But once you get this little card home, I hope it finds a really neat place. In our house, a really neat place is like the refrigerator or mirrors. And it reminds us, because the words of Jesus can always be trusted. And here's what it says. Words of Jesus, I can trust. Love the person who mistreats you. Yeah, that's what Jesus tells us to do. Love the person who mistreats you. And talk to me about them. Jesus wants you to talk to him about everything. So if you got a card first service, sorry, only one. But if this is your first time up, before you leave, please come over and I'll give you a card for you to put into your bag. Thanks for coming up.
Thank you. Go ahead and give them a big hand. Thanks, guys. Ushers, would you come forward, please, for the offering? And while they're going back to their seats, let's bow our heads in prayer and let's pray in this time of worship for the offering together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I think what's really important, Father, as we pray here, is what we're praying is you've given us so much through Christ. And Father, we are wanting to give back. We are wanting to respond. Christ, who he is and what he's done in our hearts, this is how we respond in worship, is through what we call offering. And Father, the first thing I want to pray for today is those here who are in offering, is that maybe the first thing we need to offer is giving Christ our heart and walking, believing in what he's done and walking with him. And Father, if there's people in this room that is on their heart really heavy today, they've never made that pronouncement publicly, but Father, encourage them before they leave today through your Spirit to stop and talk with one of us today. That's our first offering, is ourselves. Just like Christ gave himself everything for us. The second offering, Father, is all of us here. We have time, we have talents, we have so much. We have finances that continue the church and the mission of the God of bringing forth the knowledge and the relationship with your son, Jesus. So, Father, this next offering that we're giving to you as we go into worship is we're giving you our best of all that stuff, to make sure that the world knows your son and everything that he's done for us. So, Father, we hold up this offering that it is pleasant to you. It brings you joy. Bless the giver here today, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name.
You
If you would go ahead and take your seat for just a minute, there's one more thing we want to do on Family Sunday when we have so much integration of family and fun and excitement going on here. There's one thing we want to do before we leave today, and that is that we have a new baby in our presence, and we want to dedicate this child today. So we're going to do a child dedication ceremony here, so I'd like to invite up, Sarah and Monty and their daughter, Jedida, and their families. So we got Monty's dad, whose name is Max. He's a pastor, so we get to co-pastor this, so he's going to come up and help, and his mom, Karen, and also, Sarah, your parents' names are Jerry and Lorelei? Lorelei. So we're going to invite them all up here. Guys, this is the newest addition to our church family. Can you give praise for that? So our children, as we know, are our next building block of our church. We always got to have a focus on that next generation, that the church thrives and we're investing in our children as they will carry the vision and mission of our church. This dedication ceremony is a public statement by the parents, Monty and Sarah, that they desire to raise their child in the Christian faith. And the church, which is all of you, gets a chance to respond in this also, because it takes all of us in this process of raising a child. The strongest desire we have, and I know that these two have, is one day that Jedida makes her own personal and public profession and that she's baptized as a follower of Christ. And we desire that. In the meantime, this troop and you are going to come behind them until she's ready at that point. So the dedication is biblical. The greatest example is Joseph and Mary taking Jesus to the temple to dedicate him. And also the scriptures where Jesus tells them, do not hinder the children from coming to me. And Jesus placed his hand on them and he blessed them. And so we're going to start with a vow of the parents. So Monty and Sarah, you have brought Jedida here today to dedicate her to God. You're proclaiming not only your faith in Jesus, but your desire for Jedida to grow to be like Jesus also. It is your duty to teach her the importance of the church as a healthy place to learn, love, and pray, and most importantly, she will carry the church and the presence of God inside her as she becomes his light to the world. You can only do this through the power of God's Spirit in you. And so please respond to these vows with simply, I do. Do you promise to pray for and with your child and teach her God's word to see that she grows in her knowledge of God and her relationship with him? And do you promise to take your own relationship with God seriously so that you can be a spiritual example for your child?
I do.
And do you promise to do all you can so that in God's timing, your child will begin a relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ and will follow that faith with repentance and baptism?
I do.
So this is Max. He gets to take over at this point. Max?
Mike.
I do. Sorry. That's a really important part.
It is a privilege to be here today to do this. The verse that they have is 2 Kings 22:1, kind of obscure verse. Most of you maybe haven't memorized that. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedida, the daughter of Adaya of Bozkath. Jedida is beloved, and her middle name is Reign, because God has rained a blessing on us. I'm going to place my hand on my son. He's holding the baby, and you grandparents, you can put your hands on them, and you can stretch your hands up here as far as I'm concerned, and we'll bless this little gal together. Father God, we praise you and thank you today. We come before you, Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you would give Jedida reign according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might through your spirit in her inner being, that Christ may dwell in her heart through faith, that she would be rooted and grounded in love and able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that she may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Jedediah, reign on behalf of your parents in this congregation. We want you to grow to be a strong woman one day in Christ. Have a different attitude, not one of this world, but every day grow in your attitude and focus in Jesus Christ and follow him every earthly day of your life. Jedidah, we promise you that we are all committed to your faith journey. We dedicate you now to the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who will guide you all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead and clap. That's awesome. Church, would you stand with me? Let's take our vows to support this family. The old adage is it takes a village to raise a child. The church is God's design for support, encouragement, and strengthening for each family. The church is a body of Christ, many talents and gifts working together to help these parents raise their child. Don't leave families to battle on their own, but corporately love and support one another. So let's make these vows together by simply responding, "We do." Do you, church, promise to pray for these parents as they raise their child to trust and follow Christ? And do you promise to take your own relationship with God seriously so that you can be a spiritual example to this child? And do you promise to do all you can to help and support this family in their effort to build a godly home? We do. Would you give this family a round of applause? And thank you, guys. All right, so we got just a couple announcements here before we go. One is that in your worship bulletin, let's see, that worship guide. Karen, would you hand me that one worship guide just to, thank you. So a couple of things I want you to pay attention to. Oh, you can stand up. We're going to get out of here pretty quick. The first is a church-wide potluck is now, like here in just a few minutes. There's going to be instruction. We'd love you to stay. If you're guests, please hang out. If you didn't bring food, it's okay. There's going to be plenty. But we'd love you to hang around, and we're going to just have a great time and worship together here in the potluck. Baptism classes are coming up April 7th for children and 14th for adults. If you've never been baptized and you want to have that personal commitment to follow Christ, it's going to happen the week after Easter. Just contact our office, and we want you to come to these classes and walk through what baptism, even if you're wondering what baptism is all about, come to these classes and that will help. And then the Easter Family Fun Day, this is big. Every year our church turns out to help Manhattan Parks and Rec run the big Easter event on Saturday before Easter down in City Park. It's our church out meeting the community, and it's really easy, and it's a lot of fun with all the bounce houses and activities. And so there are sign-up sheets just outside these doors on the table. We would love all of you to come and hang out with us for that event. Yeah, it's a blast. So come out and hang out with us that day. And let's see. Guests, thank you for being here. We would love to meet you right afterwards underneath the cross. For everybody else, potluck instructions. So do I got Robert here? Like, Robert, you want a mic or you want to shout?